This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of FUBAR
Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
It is, of course, low key.
Thank you so much. If you were to listen to a lot of the music that's pumped out by the corporate media, you would not know at what period of time you were listening to that music. All of the greatest artists, when we think of John Lennon, when we think of Bob Marley, you know, John Lennon was funding the Black Panthers at one point and on very good terms with Bobby Seale. Bob Marley was intrinsically linked to politics in Jamaica and was in many ways a game changer, actually, with what he was doing. Some of the greatest artists of yesteryear, if you listen to their music, it's almost like listening to a historical document.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Brimsickers featuring Bowser Boss. One of those guys joins me in the studio, joins myself and Natalie in the studio in the absence of our regular co-host Marcel, and he is none but Grimsickers.
Thank you for having me.
Well, last week after the show, myself and Michael Payne and a few other people on the show went down to Lucky Voice in Holborn. We had a little sing-song after last week.
Like karaoke.
Which was fun. We all had so you sang a whole load of songs, didn't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm a ballad man.
Concert.
Against All Odds, Phil Collins, you did.
Amazing.
What else did you sing?
See or Kiss from a Rose.
Yep. The classic.
Yeah. I joined in on some songs as well, but
like
I think my choice is
Like a Prayer.
Yeah, I did a bit of Like a Prayer. Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
Amazing.
Can't Hurry Love by Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Can see
Easy
a pattern
Lover
here, can't
by
you?
Phil Collins.
Is that a good experience for karaoke, is it?
It's fun.
Yeah, especially if you do Phil Collins.
Have
songs.
You been to Lucky Voice before?
No, never.
So you go
I've
into your own
it.
Private room. There's a bunch. There's one in Soho, one in Islington, and then, it's not in a room for.
Okay.
And you just go in there and you just choose a bunch of songs, and then everyone has a go at singing it, and there's props and things you can pick up and and stuff.
Anyone who doesn't enjoy a bit of a sing song can't be trusted.
Because it doesn't matter. It's actually quite annoying. It's quite annoying to go with someone who can actually sing because you're like, you're missing the point of this.
This is
annoying.
This is turning into a gig.
Right. And then you're like, exactly. So, also, what happened last week was it was Easter over the weekend.
It was,
yeah. Big up Jesus for the bank holiday.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good Friday. Bank holiday, Jesus. But our first guest, who's currently in the studio with us right now, is the young Juvenile Maze. What are you saying, bro?
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah. What have you been up to today?
Just came back from work.
What does work involve? If you don't mind saying.
Oh yeah.
Unless you're a secret agent or something, you can't. Unless
or a burglar.
If you've got to kill us after, don't tell us.
Yeah, don't.
Low key part time secret agent, part time retail, and then part time secret agent. So a bit of both.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. You know, the thing is, I'm kind of glad that you said, you know, I just come from work because one thing that I saw on social media, speaking of people's opinions and stuff on social media, you know, someone tweeted that people get shamed a lot for having a part time job when they're musicians. And I think that's a symptom, again, of social media. Because people put out the highlight reels of their lives a lot, people forget that artists do need to live as well.
Of course.
Do need to make money, have an income, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm trying to... Look at a light.
Yeah, if you need to sneeze, apparently looking at a light induces a sneeze, yeah.
Of course.
No idea.
Or the sun. The sun.
Yeah. Don't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun.
That gets your sneeze going.
That'll be your most painful sneeze ever.
There's nothing worse than losing a sneeze. It's awful.
I don't know. Going blind from the sun is more painful than losing a sneeze. It's worse.
I can't see.
At least you didn't sneeze, though. That's nice.
On the way to your pilot exam, you need to sneeze. Ah, shit. So, what does the near future hold for Juvenile Maze?
More music.
Yep.
More music. Releasing the singles this Friday?
26th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 26th.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely look out for that.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to join
thank
us,
you very
bro.
Much.
Thank you.
Before
thank
you go, let people know where they can find you on social media.
Social media, yeah. So social media, you can find me on at Juvenile Maze. That's JUVENALMAZE.
Thank you once again, brother.
I appreciate it.
We have our second guest of the day in, and he is a legend. He is an icon. And his name is General Levy.
Thanks.
Spirited round of applause, Daya. How you doing, sir?
I mean, incredible.
Yes! Done it! That was such a slapper. Thank you for that.
It's definitely a classical tune, man.
It's definitely done the thing.
I can't complain.
Really, really, really do. As far as, like you said, classic songs go, songs that have had appeal as wide, you know, songs that have brought kind of cultures together.
Yeah,
songs that you can still play at a wedding reception.
Songs that if you can't dance, you can dance to this tune.
Yes, right? Songs that you can hear at a wedding, songs that you can hear at carnival.
You can make up any dance to this tune.
It
crossed over like generations and cultures and creeds. When that tune came out, the energy in the song really reached to our community and other communities outside.
It crossed over. Yeah, right, absolutely.
Everybody recognizes Madness. So when you hear a mad tune, that guy's a nut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to go, I am the incredible. Who is this guy? You know what I mean?
I want to know from the horse's mouth, what inspired that?
It was my thing to stand out amongst my peers and my other MCs around me who were busting out at the time. We used to make tapes.
Yeah.
So when we made a tape, everybody wanted to stand out and have a little style or do something which was different to kind of, it was something that came as a necessity to her kind of stand out.
Right.
And it was something that was developed. It wasn't so potent at first. It was more like, don't get a and digi, everybody, come on, that's an idiot, general, leave the Eminem style. Everybody come and dance. Everybody feel nice and irie. It's general Levy. Pandy melody. You know what I mean? It was like that was the original. Don't get digi.
Yeah.
And then I came with Ikop, slabadabadab, everybody come catch the Ikop, slabadabadab, everybody come catch the Ikop. And that was doing the thing in the hood.
Yeah.
In that, come from Northwest London house and was having like the dance hall and Mr.
Make
this in the community. And then I came with the, I am the, what? I began to get a bit more confident with it.
Right.
So I got to put a little bit more energy into it. It became, I am the, wild general, me, I the, wild general. And then I said, general leave it, just I come, like a nuclear bomb when they come for a ramp, but they with the map. By that time, the place mash up.
And then we used to have to sing for long.
When
right, yeah, because Nally started a round of applause there.
That's how it started.
That is the evolution right there of General Levy's famous hiccup. Yep. Is it fair to call it that?
It was called the hiccup.
The hiccup, okay.
Or they used to call it, my friends used to say to me, we used to be in a party, they said, like, General, give them the noise.
I like that when you've got so much faith in the guy from your crew, the MCs, bun this guy. Yeah. Show them what you can do now. I love that.
Big up Tiggy, man.
Thank you so much for coming in to join us, General Levy. Before you go, you know, for the people that have been living under a rock, let them know where they can find you on social media, just so they can find out everything that you're going to be up to this summer, because I'm sure it's going to be a busy one.
No problem. I'm going to be everywhere. But if you want to get updates on what I'm doing, well, this Saturday, I'm in the Isle of Wight at the Balcony, Balcony Club.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember the rest of my shows. I've got Spain, I'm in Madrid on Wednesday, but I can't remember where. So just check me out, www.generallevy.co.uk or Instagram, General Levy, or Facebook, General Levy fan page, or my SoundCloud, or just Google General Levy and then you'll come to a page where you can get information all about that. And just peace and love, and keep listening and keep it locked, and
always
hope you enjoy the music and enjoy FUBA Radio.
Yes. Big up.
Wicked, wicked.
You're listening to FUBA Radio.
Just a come left and right, hey, hey, hey. Ooh, yeah. Ah, boy. And them say, here comes trouble, here comes the danger, sent by the savior. Welcome the Rasta youths. I and I start recruit soldiers for Selassie army. Hey. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger, welcome the savior. Welcome the Rasta youths. You're not for axes, who are the general issue in a warning? Your people, them a ball, said them tired of mediocre. Evil a go fall when we tread in Ethiopia. Believing from down, cause them life no easy boat. Even Bantan said it's not an easy road. Operation, occupy the motherland. Calling all soldiers to kind each other along. From creation, he writing a job plan, but chronics can't do it alone. So I'm recruiting soldiers coming from near and far, by choose executing. Selassie I work
comes trouble, here comes the danger. Sent by the savior, welcome the Rasta youth. I'm an a start recruit, soldiers fizzle, I see your army. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger. Welcome the savior, welcome the Rasta youth. You're not for axes, who are the general issue in a warning boy. Waving the banner red, green and gold. It is such a honor for season four. Discovered on stones and trees and scrolls. And even in the stories that Jesus told. Rasta youth must inherit the earth. Can't sit down, Jaja send me fi work. Bring the fire in a room, Jaja send me fi purge. But I can't do it alone. Rasta recruiting. Soldiers coming from near and far, I choose. Executing. Selassie I works and be lost afar, I choose. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger. Sent by the savior, welcome the Rasta youth. I and I start recruit. Soldiers for Selassie I army. Aye. Here comes trouble, here comes the danger. Welcome the savior, welcome the Rasta youth. You're not the axes who are the general issue in a warning, hey. Left or right, the soldiers are gone. Left, right, the soldiers are gone.
Fubar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
Our guest now, Daniel Lawrence Taylor.
Hello.
The creator of the sitcom Time Wasters.
Yes.
And I can imagine if we do a Series 3, the amount of stuff that I will get rid of for Series 3 as well. A
couple more white people, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably get rid of all the white people, actually, and just make it all black. That's my aim. Just an all black sitcom where we just are racist to white people.
Wow.
If that's
kind of crazy.
It is, but that's comedy.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 PM, FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by fellow comedian and friend Matthew Highton.
Hi guys,
friend of the show,
friend of the show, fan as well.
Have you listened to it?
Yeah, mate.
Most people haven't. The other thing,
did
that
you tell your friends?
Have you told your friends?
Make sure
you tell your friends.
I just watched the trailer for Gemini.
What's that?
It's Will Smith. It's an Ang Lee film.
Oh, I watched the trailer. Do you know what?
And I'm getting obsessed with de-aging now.
It was an advert.
I haven't seen it.
It was an advert in between YouTube clips. So I was watching a YouTube thing, and then they put adverts in YouTube now.
Yeah.
And then that came on, but I didn't. Because I didn't click on it, I didn't know what it was called.
It's the trailer dropped yesterday, but I'm obsessed now because they've done exactly what they did with Samuel L. Jackson, yeah. Where it's basically Will Smith finds out they cloned Will Smith, so he fights Will Smith. But they've made him look like Fresh Prince era. Will Smith fights now Will Smith.
I thought the thing in Captain Marvel was weird because actually we all know what Samuel L. Jackson was like in the 90s. And they sort of, and he didn't look like that.
Where's his Kangol?
He basically looks exactly the same.
Did he have a Kangol hat?
Samuel L. Jackson.
He hasn't really aged in 20 years.
Samuel L. Jackson looked very old in Jurassic Park.
he looked like a very old.
Oh, God, I was going to say he looked like a 50-year-old.
And then you realise...
That's only 10 years off of you, Nat.
Yeah, I know.
You on Monday, obviously. Yeah. Slightly longer for me.
when are you 40, Nick?
I'm 40. I'll be 40 in the year. In the futuristic year of 2020.
If we're still around, Nick.
If we're still around. Are you vegetarian or vegan?
I've gone pescatarian through pressure from... the home, but I'm actually really enjoying it.
It's not a sacrifice, is it? But I just think if you could go vegan one day a week,
we do generally.
Easy.
But we have been doing HelloFresh, so it's made it a lot easier.
It makes it a lot easier. It's easy as lentil pie.
Ooh. What's HelloFresh?
Easy as pie.
It's basically when you can't be bothered to go to the shop to buy your own ingredients.
Pie.
They send it in. It's very disconcerting just hearing pie. Just
angry life of pie.
Oh, nice. Good.
That's fine.
Full circle. Full circle.
Tell your friends.
Going back to Shazam, just because I know you've seen it. Did you enjoy all the Rocky references? I thought that'd be right up your alley.
Nothing. Oh God!
Hates it.
I didn't. I liked Shazam. But I've seen it now, and it's I've had no impact on me. I enjoyed it when it was on, and I haven't thought about it since. Whereas something like Us, I liked it a lot, but I've thought about it constantly.
I thought about it constantly, and the more you think about it, the more you can pull it apart. But I really enjoyed watching it. It's like an extended Twilight Zone, which made
That's
exactly what it is.
Yeah. I thought it was like Jordan Peele's pilot for his Twilight Zone series.
Yeah, exactly that.
In a way that Get Out wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Get Out felt like a complete film, and this felt like this is just one concept that we could do, but we could do something else.
But they kept adding
next
layers.
Week.
That was what I weirded me out about Us. Like, I generally, there was something really terrifying about one family having this version of themselves, and when they started extending it out, I enjoyed it as a concept, but I thought it took me out of the film.
And also, as soon as the family got introduced, the second family got, I loved everything up until that.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the evil version of them turned up in their house. I went to see a film and the trailer came on, right? But at the moment, I'm almost like trying to avoid trailers. So, because I just want to go into films kind of pure, right? Didn't know anything about Dragged Across Concrete. I really enjoyed the film for that because I let the film unfold in front of me. And with Us, I'd already seen the trailer and I thought the trailer was terrifying. When the family turn up in the film when you're watching it, all of a sudden, all of the dread just went straight out the window, and I was just like, "Oh, it's not scary." And then, as you say, as it expands, I was ready for a home invasion movie. And I know that's been done to death, right? But I was just ready for that sort of a Jordan Peele sort of take on that. And when I didn't get that, I was sort of spent a bit of the film wrestling with my own disappointment, and then.
But yeah, like you say, it stays with you.
You're disappointed is probably the wrong word. It's just it did a, what do you call it, a Ryan Johnson. It averted my, what's the word? My expectations. Subverted my expectations. And I wouldn't say in a bad way, it just wasn't the scare. It was a more thoughtful piece than it ended up being.
I mean, I ended up thinking when they went in the spoilers underground bit, I generally, then I was like, I'd love to hear like how this came about and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, yeah, even though I didn't feel it fit in the film so
much.
When
it got to that point, I was just like going, this is how you ended Get Out.
Yeah.
You went underground. You went downstairs.
Yeah.
This felt like, are you going to end all of your films like this? Is every episode of The Twilight Zone going to be somebody going into a basement? Is that how you're going to do
it? I thought Us was great. I loved it. I was really into it.
I really enjoyed it, but like I say, just things didn't sit.
I think that what we're dealing with is the grey area, isn't it? Where I think that you're not allowed to just like a film anymore. You have to love it or you have to hate it.
Well, I think
and
that
it has
sort
to be
of
the best thing or the worst thing. When in actual fact,
it's most
I really liked Shazam and I really liked Get Out and I liked parts of Dragged Across Concrete. And I'm not going to throw it out and just say, no, you know, I just find some of it troubling, but I don't necessarily, and I think maybe that's something for the artists involved and the writer and the director and the actors involved to deal with why they made that film.
Yeah.
But for me, that doesn't necessarily make it a bad piece of art.
Oh, not at all. No.
I can find something troubling and I can also find good things within it around that, but then I find thinking about why I find it troubling.
Yeah.
I think we're in a knee-jerk society at the moment, which is just like, get it away from me.
Also,
I don't want to see that.
There's a thing at the minute, isn't it, where people talk about, like, I remember, like, people not liking things like Mad Men because they go, well, I don't like Don Draper. And you go, that's because he's a complicated character. You're not meant to be like, oh, what a lovely fella. It's because he's got different shades to him and things. And that when people kind of dismiss things because they don't like the main character, but their behaviour in a drama is like, that's mental.
I love, love a flawed character as a protagonist.
My sister doesn't rate Schindler's List because it's depressing.
I didn't get that from it. It's quite uplifting.
But then you're a fascist. It has got a very uplifting ending where at the end Liam Neeson, you know, he sacrifices everything so that he can save as many Jews as possible, and you just think, God, Liam Neeson, what a great guy, what an amazing humanitarian. He's definitely, I haven't read the news in the last year, but
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Nothing that Liam Neeson can do to knock himself off that position. No. Well done. He can coach for the rest of his life after making Schindler's List. Give him the benefit of the doubt, I say. Anyway, I'm just going to go off and listen to some Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey doing Michael Jackson impressions.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
We are now joined by the lovely, lovely Scarlett Curtis.
Had a pop-up in the Top Shop on Op Circus. After just a few hours of the pop-up being up, it got taken down. If it was taken down because it was too controversial or they thought they were going to get a backlash, you know, that's really saying that a store that only really sells to teenagers won't endorse something that is advocating for their equality. Really crazy, and I think we really need to think about the messages that we're giving out for these girls and, you know, make sure that their money just isn't fueling the patriarchy even more.
Every Wednesday, from 6 p.m, FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. We have a really exciting show for you guys today. We have an interview with the author John Boyne, who wrote My Brother's Name is Jessica. So John, it's a pleasure to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Thank you for inviting me on.
Of course. So tell me a little bit. I've almost finished reading the book. I'm about 20 pages away from the end, so I'm very excited to see the climax, I guess. But do you want to tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, it's narrated by a 13-year-old boy, Sam, who has always idolized his older brother, who has been like a great older brother, an inspiration to him, best footballer in school. And the parents are quite absent. They're very busy with their political careers. And at the end of the first chapter, his sibling comes downstairs and says he doesn't think he's his brother at all. He believes he's his sister. So the story is really about how Sam, over the course of a summer, explores this subject of transgender and comes to support his sister from a point where at the start he's very embarrassed by it, he's confused by it, he does a lot of things which are not kind. But it's really about how he comes to understand that Jessica is the same person she's always been, the same loving, kind, supportive inspiration. She just has a new name, a new identity, a new body. So it's really about empathy and understanding, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's really quite special in the way that it handles it, because it is from Sam's point of view, and you kind of get this childlike understanding. And he, like you said, there are moments where he's almost quite nasty and quite mean, but he's not meaning to be. He keeps continually saying throughout the book, you know, that's, you're my brother Jason. And he almost doesn't want to accept that it's actually his sister, Jessica.
Well, he's quite selfish, really.
Yeah.
Because he's thinking about himself more than he's thinking about her. He's 13 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I guess we're like in that. He doesn't want the status quo to be upset. He likes things exactly as they are. And, you know, he just doesn't understand what's going on at all. I did think it was important that I used his point of view, though, rather than Jessica's, because I don't have that personal experience of being transgender. And I thought that's probably a place for a transgender writer to write about.
Yeah.
But I do know what it's like to just not really know too much about a subject and to approach it and try to learn about it, try to educate myself.
I think it's really important. It's not something that I've actually seen or read before. I've never kind of seen this perspective where there is this high level of empathy for the person that doesn't understand. And it's not just Sam either. It's the parents who I think as well can be quite mean-spirited at times. But it is fair, I think, you know. It's when they're saying these unpleasant things, it's not easy to read, and at times it's almost harrowing, and it reminds you that transgender people have to go through those things.
Yeah,
but you actually do feel that from the parents. You do feel their
But what I really would like would be if young people who are reading this book felt exactly what you're saying. If they felt, you know, if they themselves started from a position of maybe not feeling as generous feelings towards trans people as they should, if they read it and they see some of the things that Sam says and some of the things that he does, and that they go, well, hang on, I mean, that's just cruel, that's mean, why do that? And make them challenge their own prejudices or the things that they don't understand about the subject.
Yeah, and I think it does that in very subtle ways as well. Like, I think it's lovely that Jessica or Jason is a footballer, and, you know, the captain, is it captain?
Captain of the football
team. Yeah, and the best football player in school. And it's, you know, it's not something that you expect. And then there's also the fact that, you know, there's a lot of talk about sexuality as well, and like the assumption that sexuality and gender go hand in hand. But you know, Jessica is, you know, she still wants to date girls. And
yes, and even for her, that's confusing because, you know, the first thing sometimes people think about transgender people, well, are you gay then? And of course, it's not necessarily connected in a complete way. And for Jessica, who's 17 and is sexually interested in girls, but says from her standpoint of when she was originally in the identity of a boy, saying, well, no, I'm not gay. And then Sam is saying to her, but if you think you're a girl and you're attracted to girls, doesn't that make you gay? And that leaves Jessica kind of like, I don't know, I'm 17.
Yeah.
I'm literally trying to figure this out myself. I don't know what's going. You know, I'm learning about this myself. I want to speak to people. I want to go. I know that I am a girl. I want to pursue this identity and take it on. But outside of that, look, I'm only figuring it out as I go along as well.
Yeah, I love that conversation. It's actually one of my favourite parts of the book. It's really special. There's another moment as well when Jessica's first talking about realising that she was a girl for the first time. And she's talking about growing up. And I don't want to give too much away, but just talking about, you know, feeling like she belonged in a different bathroom from a very, very young age, from the age of, I think, three years old. And that really hit me. You know, I feel like I have a lot of trans friends. I feel like I'm very educated on transgender issues. And yet, for the first time, I was hearing a trans person, whether, you know, they're fictional, but even still, it still carried the same weight.
Well,
you know,
it's not fictional because I took that story from a trans friend of mine almost word for word. Last night I was doing an event which was moderated by a transgender woman who was also saying about sort of being three and knowing then, just knowing that certain things that you sort of traditionally do with boys was not the place for her, that she felt awkward and uncomfortable then. So that does just show that it's there from birth.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it that kind of inspired you then to, because I guess there is a lot of transphobia in the book, and it does come from fellow classmates, etc., and it is set in the modern day.
Yeah.
So what made you kind of decide to do that? Was it to just kind of really try to make the reader feel that empathy for the character, or was there something else behind that?
Well, it's a combination. One, to feel the empathy, but also because there is natural, for all I say, you know, that, you know, kids are very good today in general, but there's always going to be that bully.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want somebody you love to go through what is obviously going to be a very traumatic experience. And trans people have not quite got that far yet in the culture. And people are more likely to maybe do a double take on somebody on the street, make a cruel comment at, in the nighttime in a club or something. There is always the potential for violence.
Sometimes when we see stories about LGBT plus people and them struggling with their families, it's often rooted in like a working class environment. You know, you have your working class father who's going to react negatively to their son coming out as gay. But we don't see that in the book. We see this very upper class family who are involved in politics, and depends where you fall on the political spectrum. But I guess that's not what you would expect. You know, if I thought somebody was going to be homophobic or transphobic, maybe wrongly, I might be looking at a different kind of side of the class divide. So I like that it really shows that.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, these things, they hit people no matter where you are in your financial status and your social status and your colour, your religion. It's very random. With the parents in the book, what they do, of course, is their cruelty is shown by the fact that they bury their heads in the sand, really. They're more concerned about the mother's political career.
Yeah.
And what can we do? You know, they even sort of like think, well, how will this play, basically? How will this play to the voters?
Yeah.
And they have reached a point in their lives where they have forgotten that their primary job is the care of their children. And that is something that they, throughout the book, have to go on a, you know, a journey about as well. I wanted to challenge young readers, certainly. I wanted to encourage them to be empathetic, but I also wanted to tell a good story. You know, that is like the primary job of the novelist.
And it is a great story, but I've thoroughly enjoyed reading it. And it really, I felt like I was learning myself. You know, I mentioned that I feel like I'm very educated on LGBT plus issues, but even reading this, I felt like I was taking away something. And
it's an ongoing education, isn't it? And
absolutely.
All you can do is try to keep your mind open to every piece of information that comes your way and listening to
it. Well, I hope a lot of people read it. I hope it's not just LGBT plus people that pick up this book. I hope everyone picks up this book, because I think we can learn a lot from it. Amazing. Well, it's been a pleasure chatting to you, John. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Call me anytime you want.
Say she needed The other day, because you were supposed to be giving up sausages, if I remember rightly. And then I see some pictures of you dressed up like you're in Game of Thrones, eating sausages with a Jon Snow lookalike.
I always love sausages. Always. I have done really well. I've had a gluten-free diet for a couple of months, but I have had sneaky sausages. It's always going to be... I just love them. I've had some this morning, actually. I'm eating some sausages, you know, out of the tin.
Oh, my God.
Every Thursday, Access All Areas. From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We're so excited.
Having a little bit of a gossip.
We are, because my favourite doc is in the house. Sorry, Dr. Hillary, if you're listening, but my real favourite doctor's here.
Dr. Rand.
We love you. From this morning show. You. Lovely to see you.
Thank you. I can't believe it. I'm amongst friends. I've known you both for so long.
It's so lovely.
Why is it taking me so long to get here?
Because you've got something to promote now.
Yeah. We've got something amazing.
Don't have much going on that they didn't really want me on. So well, that's fine.
And how was strict? Because that must have been when you got that call.
Oh my gosh. I screamed. Strictly. I was on a train to Liverpool and I screamed.
Then you couldn't tell anyone why you screamed.
And then I couldn't, for 3 weeks, I couldn't tell anybody anything. And then obviously it got announced. But you know what I'm really gutted about? I'm gutted I didn't get hit by the Strictly curse.
Oh.
Absolutely gutted.
It's harder for people like you and me.
It is, isn't it?
Less
More sophisticated
people.
That's
exactly what I'm
saying.
Do
you believe in the curse? Because
do you know
a lot
what's
of people
really
say,
funny?
Is it real?
I'm going to embarrass Stephen now. The first time we met, do you remember what happened?
What?
Oh my God, look at his face. He's going bright red.
What happened, Stephen?
We were in a bar.
Oh, Stephen.
We got very drunk and I went to order a drink at the bar and we might have had a snog.
Stephen!
I swore I'd never say that. Oh gosh, they're all screaming
you
at me.
You snubbed the doctor.
Look at his face.
You snubbed my favourite doctor.
Yes. Yeah, we did actually. Yeah.
We did.
Oh,
I've never been quite the same.
This is cause for celebration.
I wasn't going to say anything, Rand.
Yeah, you kept
I just
that
saw
quiet.
It in his eyes. Oh, my God.
No,
it was friendly. It was very friendly.
I wondered why he was skipping to the studio today.
This was a long time ago.
It was.
Maybe five, 6 years, something.
It was
like
a long time ago.
We'd been to an award ceremony somewhere. And then we were with Ollie from Made in Chelsea. So it was really weird.
It was weird. And I don't know where we ended up, but we were absolutely trousered.
I didn't know who you were to begin with. And the only reason. No, well, that's fine. You're a celebrity. But I remember getting out of a cab and someone. Singing the theme song to your CBB song, and I was like, why are they singing? You were like, oh, I do this. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, that's incredible. Gosh. Wow. I feel like this is fresh
that's
news.
An exclusive.
It's an exclusive.
That's a FUBAR exclusive.
I tell you what, he's a dark horse. This one, he kept it right under his hat.
Yep.
I don't like to share secrets.
I've noticed.
He just likes to share saliva.
all our listeners.
Oh, my God.
Well, I hope it was a good kiss.
Yeah, well.
If you can remember. Anyway.
I've thrown him off for the entire show.
You have, actually.
But anyway, we won't go
How
there.
How old are you, Stephen?
33.
Really?
Yeah, 34 in November.
Oh, gosh, blimey. Yeah. I'm a cradle snatcher.
You are!
That's not in a bad way. I didn't mean that in a bad way. That's really naughty.
Right. But did you always want to do TV? Did you always want... I mean,
no.
When This Morning came along, how did it happen?
Do you know what? It all happened by accident. I was a junior doctor, like everyone else.
Yeah.
I'd been working in hospital for 5 years. I started to get itchy feet. I wanted to... I'd always had a slightly creative side. That's not a euphemism for gay. I just had a slightly creative side, and I wanted to flex that creative muscle a bit. And I thought, well, I need to do something. Maybe I'll do some music or something, just mucking about. This opportunity came up with the BBC, had a coffee. They took me on. They originally were just using me as an advisor. Then they stuck me on screen. Then they passed my name round. And then I came up with the idea for the kids' show. Then I got This Morning. Then I got various other things. Cut a long story short, I've ended up on Strictly.
I know. One of the biggest shows on our TV screen.
How mad is that?
No, but I have to say, I remember when I phoned Bruno and I said, you didn't tell, because he never tells me who's on. I always try to get it out of him. And he went, I know, darling, and you'd be happy with that.
Usually he doesn't know many people, don't he?
No, some of them he didn't know. He knew you, obviously. But on a few of them, yeah, but then obviously
he's got a busy old life.
He has got a busy life.
He's here in America,
isn't he? I'll be honest, he didn't know Stacey Dooley, but everyone knows her now, don't they? With the latest.
Ooh.
I mean, did you know about that? Can we ask? Doc, did you know?
No. See, this is the thing. I'm so clueless with all of this stuff. I find out after everyone else. But the thing is, I think a lot of people need to realise that when you're in that show, you get very close to your partner because you do have to surrender yourself to your partner. Professionally, you know, physically, you have to do everything they tell you. There's a power in that, and I'm not surprised people get close. I'm not surprised it happens. That's not to say I knew it was happening.
No, because you are together 24/7. Aren't
I know you are pretty much. I mean, I fell in love with my partner. Shame she's married.
Yes,
and a woman.
And a woman.
And a woman. Just a shame. Were there any of the comments, and you went away and thought, "God, that really stabbed me in the heart"? Because it must hurt it when there are the criticism.
Do you know
a bit
what? It didn't, because I kind of just took it on the chin and thought, it is a show, so some of the comments are going to be for telly. But you've got to take the feedback on board. And Darcy did always give good feedback. And Shirley always gave good feedback. And one thing I wish I'd done is enjoyed it even more. Like, not got into my head quite so much. And I remember Shirley saying to me at one point, do you know what? At this stage in the competition, it's about halfway, she's like, technique-wise, you're gonna have achieved as much as you can achieve. Now just enjoy it. Just perform. And I should have stuck to that. And I was, I think, still trying to get in my head about technique. And
do you think you took it too seriously?
Everyone does. Yeah. It gets to that stage and everyone starts to take it quite seriously. You know, and then that's, you know...
Yours was quite a dramatic year, though. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on your year. Anyway.
Rand, thank you so much for coming in.
So the book is out on the 2nd of May. Well, well done.
Thank
and I'm so pleased with your success. You're the most wonderful, lovely person. We love
thank
him.
You.
Well, you definitely love him.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, the secret's out.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Force, yeah. Blessings we are reap and we course in handful. Oh, we no rise and boast. Yeah, we give thanks like we need it the most. We have to give thanks like we really supposed to be thankful. Blessings all for me life and my thank God for the journey, the earnings are just for the plus. Yeah, and gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall by my right hand. What's a toast to the friends that take off. Third one, me say, me try a thing. And you know it formed up to be a fire thing. Now up on stage with chronic say I sing. Yeah, see me all digging soon, get the higher ring. Like, hello, brother, me say, I had to shout ya. Saw your poster, spectacular photo. Keep it burning, yes, that's the motto. If me the butter, pass through your shot. To can ball in a life, man. Me have to thank God for the journey. The earnings are just for the plus. Yeah, and gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall. That's how I'm here to give him the glory. I'm here delighted. General said my passion ignited. Got the music, me excited. I'm coming like a potion. Mm-hmm. Blessings all for my life and my thank God for the journey. The earnings are just for the plus. Yeah. And gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall by my right hand. Bust a toast for the friends. We take off every load one time. Bits sit down in a class and we pour dead. All he said, the road.
My thank God for the journey, the earnings are just for the plus. Yeah. And gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall by my right hand. Bust a toast to the friends that take off the load. One time did sit down in a class and we poured dead. All is said the road and we go on with the road.
Fubar Radio presents Joey
Page. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome into the studio
officially,
Almond
yeah.
Brown. Welcome to the show. Why did it take so long to make
Why
an album,
did
mate?
It take so long? Well, because I was working in restaurants for 10 years and doing music on the side. Once at the restaurant, a girl came to meet her boyfriend's parents for the first time, and not only did she vomit twice, she also shit herself.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go large, I think. Just
yeah.
Every Wednesday.
Joey Page.
From 2 p.m.
Fubar Radio.
It's time to welcome to the show, Dana, a.k.a. Porridge Radio.
Hi.
So how are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
So this started as a bedroom project.
Yeah.
Right? So I take that to mean, in the literal sense, that the whole operation was done from your... from a room, basically.
Yeah, a room that had a bed in it.
Yeah, yeah.
That I would sleep in.
So how has that manifested into where we are now with, like, a band and going out and supporting Cherry Glazer on tour and the LP and then the new song? So tell us, just sort of fill in the gaps.
So I used to make music on my own, just kind of quietly, not really sharing with people. Ended up sending it to some friends. Slowly ended up doing open mic nights, kind of screaming at old men in pubs. And
do you have a particular memory of that? Like one place where you felt particularly like you were just screaming at old men?
There was one, I used to live in Brighton, there was this one open mic night at the Victory that I'd go to. Yeah, it was on a Tuesday night, and I used to go there all the time and just like be like, these people hate this. But it was really nice for me to do. I don't think I even had a guitar, I just borrowed the guy's guitar.
Oh,
who
cool.
ran it. And there was maybe like two really nice old men who gave me loads of support and were like, this is really cool. But all the other old men would kind of stare vacantly back at you. Or even worse than that is the kind of young, beautiful people who stare at you like, why are you doing this? And then they pick up a guitar and they play a really beautiful folk song with a really beautiful voice. And you're like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
you
not
don't,
that.
Yeah, but you definitely don't always want that. Do you know what I mean?
But like, they want that and they'd be like, why are you here if you're not doing that? Which I think is fine because it's character building.
Just recently supported Cherry Glazer. You've got loads of festival stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Cherry Glazer on the show not so long ago. So, yeah, tell us a bit about that experience.
Well, we just supported them for the London show,
yeah, sure.
not the tour.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing and it was incredible. I really loved them so much.
How, like, much did you get to see them on the day? Did you interact with them or were they a bit, like,
yeah,
in and out? Or how was it?
We got there quite late. I think we missed a sound check. We literally just got there just near doors. And so there wasn't that much time to say hi, but they were really friendly and really nice. And kind of Clem came up to us. Oh, Clem came up to Maddie. Maddie plays bass in the band. And she was introducing herself and she just like gave her a huge hug. And then I walked out the dressing room and I was like, oh my God, do you guys know each other? And they were like, what? No. But the hug that they were giving each other was like the hugest, most like old friends hug. I was like, these guys have got to go way back. And they didn't. It was nice. And
nice.
I got a hug. She was so nice and so amazing.
So can I ask you about Garden Centre?
Yeah.
What kind of an outfit is Garden Centre like? Will you have to kind of really switch gears from one to the other, or what kind of a band is Garden Centre compared to Porridge Radio, for example?
Garden Centre is an amazing band. I don't write the songs, so I can say that. I love the music. My friend Max writes all the songs, and I just play guitar in Garden Centre, and I sing a bit. Whereas in Porridge Radio, I'm fronting the band, and I'm kind of screaming at people and playing loudly and being like at the front. Garden Centre is very much more low-key for me, having a good time.
And is that quite a nice thing to kind of take a step to the side in a band? Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
I always cite when this kind of thing comes up, like when David Bowie went on tour with Iggy Pop and just played keyboard because he fancied a little break but still wanted to have his hand in the background. Did
yeah.
it feel a bit like, oh, this is nice because there's
yeah,
less responsibility?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a bit like
a
David Bowie. Yeah, yeah. I'd say I've got a little David Bowie vibe, sure.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's amazing just playing music in a band that you love and being a part of somebody else's project and being able to help them make their
yeah,
music
yeah.
sound the way that they can hear it in their head. And like, I love Garden Centre so much. Being in that band is just amazing. And I love being in Porridge Radio as well. It's just two different experiences. They're both great.
Yeah, well, it's great if you can do both at the same time. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about your last trip to the seaside.
It was on tour. It was in Edinburgh.
Oh, that is one of the bleakest beaches in the world.
It was really nice.
Was it?
Yeah, and Maddie found loads of starfish and we were trying to get her to eat them and she wouldn't do it. And we went to this cafe and it was so expensive and we got shakshukas. Do you know what shakshuka is?
No.
It's like a Middle Eastern dish. It's like got its tomatoes and then you cook an egg in it and the egg
I have had one of those.
Yeah, and the egg was raw and we were like, oh, the egg is raw. And then they took it back and they brought it back and it was just like colder and still raw. And then Georgie was like, you can't complain. And I was like, I'm gonna say something. And then we felt really embarrassed because we said something and then we didn't. Oh yeah, it was amazing. We didn't end up paying for them, but then we felt really embarrassed about that. And we were like, we got a tip, a huge tip, because we did. And it was like all of our social anxiety.
Such an emotional rollercoaster.
It was, and then we went for the walk on the beach and there were loads of dogs there and we took loads of photos on this big wooden plank thing going into the sea. Spelling out everybody's groins. Mm. That's disgusting. We all stood on the groins.
Yeah.
And took photos of ourselves spelling out each other's names with our bodies.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's really, really great to have you on the show. Thanks, you've been a great guest. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio. One kiss is all it takes. Falling in love with me. Possibilities. Like all you need.
One kiss is all it takes. Falling in love with me. Possibilities. I look like all you need. One kiss is all it takes. Falling in love with me. Possibilities.
Mrs. Katie B.
I do love female company. I just love that kind of energy, being surrounded by strong, talented women. Sometimes I do miss it, because all of a sudden I'm like looking around, I'm like, hang on a minute. I need to kind of reach out to more artists that are kind of going through the same thing as me, or organise more sessions, or even give more opportunities to other up-and-coming artists, or shout out to other artists. It's definitely something that is more on my radar. Otherwise, I can feel it. I yearn for it.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose. From 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Hey, it's Kings. Kings is in the building. How's it? I thought I'd plug your Instagram there.
Yeah, thank you very much.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very, very good. I like your hair.
Thank you.
Pink to make everyone wink.
Yeah.
Love it. So your debut colour came out at the beginning of March.
Yeah.
How's it been going since then? It's had a great response, seemingly, online.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really good. I had a lot going on in Switzerland as well.
Yep.
So I've been back and forth, like, gigging there, because I supported Lewis in Switzerland.
Yes.
So then I had this, like, you know, this growth there with some fans.
I was going to say, because it's really quite random, but it makes sense because you supported Lewis Capaldi there.
But
right?
I am actually half Swiss.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that why you did that specific show?
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I knew it would be really hard to, thank you, to to be like a first on in like London or whatever, because he's got so many people who want to like gig with him. So I was like, you know, I've got Swiss roots, so can I do Switzerland? And so he was like, it's cool. So I did the first on there.
Sick. Do you know him, or did you just reach out like randomly?
Yeah, I know him. And we've kind of like worked in the same circles and stuff, so I know him. I don't like hang out with him regularly or anything, but I know him.
That's really cool though, that you were able to just kind of drop him a line and get him to help you kind of launch into what
you're
doing.
It was really, really good, because that really kind of helped, and that really then motivated, because I did that before I had the song out, and then it really motivated.
I was going to say,
and then I was
what
like,
were you playing?
I played, well, the songs that weren't released, so I was just like, sorry guys, nothing's online. Just, I put a demo on YouTube, so I was like, you can listen to that if you want.
Yeah, that's cute. That's cute.
But then, yeah, it really motivated me to put Colour out, because I had some people that were actually like, we want to
hear more from you. Yeah. So. And it was with Nina Nesbitt, right? She was playing, doing support as well. She's a total babe.
Yeah, she's great. And she's so nice.
Kind of great as well to, because I feel like she'll bring her own fans as well to that gig, which means that you're kind of cross-pollinating onto those guys as well.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, and she was so nice with like her advice and stuff, because I was I was like dying almost. I was so nervous, but she was like, just chill, you know, da da da. She was great.
She's super funny and lovely. She's not like, she's quite quiet in some ways, but she's also really like loud and fun in other ways. So
when I first saw her, she didn't even say anything. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to speak to her, because maybe she doesn't want to speak, whatever. And then later on, she really opened up and she was just like,
she's so nice.
It's like, you don't know first, and then you're like, oh, actually, she's really cool.
Yeah, she's so cool. And also, she's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, exactly. She's done so many of these gigs. So she's literally just a natural. She's like, she just does it.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. I think she did it London last night, maybe, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, what's the plan for the next release? Because I'm sure people are baying for your blood. Like, they want more. Colour's out.
Yeah.
I know it's harsh of me because it's only April, but...
No, I've got the next one in the pipeline. I'm just kind of, like, figuring out what to do, because now, obviously, some people have taken a bit of interest, and now maybe I won't do it completely independently, the next one. So then figuring all that out and trying to like
get
everything. But that always makes everything longer, and I don't want it to be more than 3 months, but currently I'm looking at end of May.
So you're talking to labels. To anyone listening, that's what she means. She's talking to people who might make her musical career slightly more different. Like, you know, they might bring an extra element, which is exciting. But
but it'll still be very much like
you.
Indie, I think, at the beginning. Like, we were just, anyway, figuring it out.
It's exciting, though. Congratulations for the fact that you've kind of got that spotlight. And people have... It's kind of a cool position to be in, to have not really released anything.
Yeah.
But already have people being like, we want to hear more.
Yeah, it's really cool. And also, I don't have management in the UK. So I've got someone in Switzerland, like, working there on the ground, like, working with my stuff there and stuff. But I don't have anyone in the UK. So I'm just doing it all myself. So obviously, I don't want to, like... You know, you've got to be careful what you're doing, especially when you're unmanaged and it's just you kind of driving
I heard in a podcast yesterday, I keep talking about this podcast today. It's a musical songwriters podcast, and it was about a girl what is her name? She sings like, she's sung on Eminem's tracks and like, she's massive, but she's also mainly a songwriter. And one of the best things she said she ever did was get a lawyer before she got a manager or a label.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times, in fact.
And honestly, like,
I'm looking into it at the moment, actually.
Because that, I think, is a great advice for up-and-coming people, because actually you don't... Skylar Grey, that's her name.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And she got a lawyer before she got anything else.
Right, right.
Because a lot of artists sign deals and sign contracts and sign whatever before they really know what anything means.
Yeah,
I mean, I definitely, when I first started presenting, was like, I'll sign anything! Just help me! Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're regretting it.
You're so fucked.
Yeah.
But I feel like for musicians, that's the one biggest piece of advice, is kind of finding that person.
Yeah.
But also, to, as proven by you now, you don't need anyone.
Wow. Yeah, I guess
to start,
so.
No, you know, if you
at
don't,
the moment, you don't need
if you
it,
don't
no.
have someone, it's okay. You can okay. do stuff. You yeah. can support Lewis Capaldi, one of the biggest up and coming artists in the UK right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a hugely kind of intense fan base who would just really love him, hasn't he? Because he's like a comedian as well.
Yeah.
He's like so funny.
It's
on
like
Instagram.
Developed. Yeah, yeah. It's like suddenly like, yeah. And you know, the fans are really loving. Like, I've got people that didn't see me live actually in Switzerland, but because Lewis shared a cover that I did of his song, and then you just get like girls reaching out from, I don't know, Poland,
crazy,
or and Germany, and they're just like really they just come to you with open arms and they just give you love, and it's like, oh, it's really nice. They're just all really nice, mostly girls, and they're just lovely. So it's been really nice to get that kind of response from you.
And I feel like you've got a very positive vibe about you, so I think that this like, I hope that the team forms around you very quickly so that you can, like, still being this positive and wonderful kind of personality within this industry, because it is a tough one, you know? But it's such an exciting time for you.
Yeah, it is exciting. I mean, I'm working really hard on, like, emailing everyone, like, you know, like, getting on radios and stuff. So I'm doing everything. So it's, like, it's a big hustle.
But you know what, babe? It's the biggest, most important thing you can do is do it yourself, because the only person that's going to push you harder than you is you.
Yeah,
like you're just going to be able to. I've all of the stuff that I've ever done has come from me originally pushing it and being like, hi, can I interview, can I come here, can I do this, and you just keep doing it until someone says yes. And you got yes before you even released a fucking song. Like, you know,
It's happening. It's good.
So exciting. FUBAR Radio.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.